You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, the regular season ends tonight. That is super sad to say. But me and Adam's shows will not. We'll do playoff shows, obviously. But this is our last regular season show together. I'm Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News, here to host Locked On Pacers. And with me, my co-host on the other line from Indy Cornrows, Adam Friedman. Adam, what's up, man?
Not much. Tony, I think we should start off the show actually shouting out there. We have some competition in our Pacer realm right now. A new writer.
Not just a new writer, a new very, 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 very good writer. J. Michael, formerly of NBC Washington for the Wizards, and I forget where he was before that.
Orlando Sentinel.
The Orlando Sentinel, thank you very
much. Another USA Today paper.
When I wrote for Bullets Forever at SB Nation, I followed J. Michael, and he covered the Wizards, too, so it's cool to have him. He's following in my footsteps, obviously, but cool to have him on the Pacers beat for the Indy Star. He's going to be really good. He used to play basketball, so his X's and O's stuff is top-notch. So I'm really, really happy to have him here. I think it's going to be a good addition to the Pacers media scene.
Yeah, must fall. He's at This is J. Michael.
Must follow.
For the playoffs, definitely a must follow. Soon we'll see some of Clifton Brown, too, who I've actually enjoyed following for this year. But he starts moving on, and we should probably move on and talk about some Pacers.
We will talk about the Pacers because, you know, it's hard to say, really, what to expect out of their final game, because it could be meaningless. It could be super important. And who they play, I mean, it might not even matter. They might actually be angling for
meaningless. I'm cutting you off right there. It's meaningless.
What if the Knicks win, Adam? What if they beat the Cavs tonight?
No,
okay, it's very important to explain this because with so much not a theory. The timing, because with so much going on with like, only four teams in the West and like six of the seeds still be decided in the East. Like, we're recording at 6:30 PM Monday. So when you're hearing this, like, a lot of stuff could have shifted around because everything is so hectic. But I agree with you. I wrote that in my game grades for the Raptors game last week. I was like, this game didn't really matter. I think they're pretty much the five seed no matter what happens.
Yeah. Your only possibility of this game actually mattering is if the Cavs lose both games, right? Win both, or win this last one, they can get to the four seed or get to the division title, whatever, per se. But you have some wild theory you're throwing before the show that, you know,
I have some theory.
The Knicks to win so the Nets have a better draft pick.
Yes.
But I think the Cavs overriding that is they want to be the three seed, because if they are the three seed, it's a walk to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, the Nets play the Bulls tonight. That's another layer of this I didn't tell you. And the Nets and Bulls both have 27 wins, and the Knicks have 28. So, and the Cavs have the Nets pick. So the Nets are probably going to beat the Bulls because the Bulls are going to tank their butts off, and the Nets don't have their pick. So now the Nets and Knicks have the same number of wins. So the Cavs could just throw into these Knicks games and to get them up to 29 wins and help out their Nets pick in the lottery a little bit, which could be something to monitor. But I agree with what you said when I said that earlier, and that I think the Cavs are more likely to want to push for the three seed. And because they have the tiebreaker over the Sixers, that is certainly a possibility for them.
Can we just talk about how dumb the tiebreaker is that it's winning the division?
Well, it's not for these two teams. Neither of them are winning their division.
What? No. No, for the Cavs and Sixers. Yes, it is.
No, neither of those teams are winning their division.
Cavs are winning their division.
No, the Raptors are winning the Cavs division.
The Raptors are not in our division. Not in the Pacers division.
Oh, shoot.
Central.
That's not the tiebreaker. The reason,
yes, it is.
No, it's not. No, it's not the reason. The Cavs have the tiebreaker over the Sixers because they have a better division record. You want me to read the You want me to read the tiebreakers?
I'm pretty sure it's if you win the division, you get the tiebreaker. That's how it works.
Head-to-head win-loss percentage, division one loss percentage, conference one loss percentage, in order.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Either way, the Cavs have the division win advantage and the conference win advantage, so they should have it for like a million reasons.
But it's going to all come down to what the Bucks play the 76ers on Wednesday. If they lose that game, they'll be the four seed. If they win the game, they'll be the three seed.
Assuming the Cavs win both against the Knicks, yes. So the Sixers close in Atlanta, or they go in Atlanta and then a back to back at home against the Bucks. And probably the Bucks game is the best chance for them to lose because the Hawks are at 24 wins and like four other teams have 24 wins. So they're taking their butts off too. So that's a walk in the park for Philly, but the Bucks really want that seven seed. So they'll be pushing to stay ahead of Washington in that last game so they can play Boston on the
all
first
right, round. Tony, so the number one tiebreaker is division leader wins tie from team not leading a division. That's the number one tiebreaker for everything.
What am I looking at?
I'm looking at NBA.com.
Playoff tiebreaker
procedures on NBA.com.
Okay, go down to where it says playoff tiebreak procedures instead of looking at tiebreaker basis. And then the first one literally says better win percentage of games against each other.
Only
better win
teams are tied in the same division.
That's not what that says.
It says better win percentage teams in their own division only if the teams tied are in the same division. You understand that? That means it has to be teams in the same division that are tied for the division lead. That's when that becomes useless. It end of the day, the division tiebreaker, whoever is winning their division wins the tiebreaker.
It literally says playoff tiebreaking procedures. A, two teams tied, one, better winning percentage in games against each other, two, better winning percentage against teams in own division. But then, only the teams are in the same division, so they're not, so that's not it. So then it goes to three, better winning percentage against teams in own conference.
Okay, and that's where the tiebreaker is. But But why does the tiebreaker basis then say division leader wins tiebreaker?
I have no idea.
I thought that was the way it is until you get to the end of there.
I don't know.
I believe it's in a 5-8 seed scenario, and the other one's in a 1-4 seed scenario.
Teams 1-4 in each conference are the three division winners and the team with the next best regular season record, with the seeding for these four teams determined by regular season record.
Which means 5-8 are decided by the pursuant rules, 1-4 are by the rules above that.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I heard
look at this content.
Well, four different podcasts, they've said division leader wins a tiebreaker, which is the dumbest thing ever. And so I was making sure I was right. I'm right.
Well, I literally pulled up I just Googled NBA tiebreaker and saw playoff tiebreak procedures and read that.
Okay, but we both agree it's a stupid reason to be a tiebreaker is winning the division. Division doesn't mean
Jets. The Heat are going to win their division.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They are. That's right. Boston's in Toronto's division. Yeah.
The Heat are going to win their division, so it's stupid. That's a tiebreaker. That's why they're like basically locked into six no matter what.
Is it? Oh, because if they're tied with Milwaukee, they win the tiebreaker.
Yeah. If they're tied with either one, they win it.
Which also is important because, right, if Milwaukee is – Milwaukee could be clinched into a certain spot by the last game of the season and not try because they could just rest their starters.
Yes.
But if they aren't, they still have a shot at the six, they might still be playing their starters.
Yes. And we want them to turn their butts off against Philly.
So, but we both agree the Pacers would be better off playing Philly than the Cavs in the first round.
Yeah, I definitely think that.
The worry is, what's Philly on a 14-game win streak now?
14, yes. And Ben Simmons is like murdering everything.
Yeah, like I thought, you know, the Sixers would lose a few once they lost Embiid. You know, it is a cupcake schedule. I mean, you look at the teams they beat. I mean, the best team they've beaten is the Cavs.
You still got to win the games, though. Like,
no, I agree. But they've done it without Embiid, so that's like such a positive that it scares me. Embiid will be back probably game 1-2 range, it sounds like. Seems like he's on that projection. Maybe you'd say game 3 at the latest, but if they have home court and they win – one of the first two, and they're going to beat back. They're going to win the series in six very easily.
Exactly. They're both tough series in general. That's why I would prefer to play the Sixers. Plus, I just don't want to play the Cavs again. Like, LeBron's knocked the Pacers out before their last five playoff trips or something. So
the question is, though, if we assume the Pacers are going to lose in the first round, like we just kind of think they are, is it better to lose in seven to the Cavs or the Sixers? Like, isn't losing the seven to the Cavs, if they go to the finals, kind of more what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
momentum,
noble or a dignified way to lose. You're like, well, we lost the NBA champ or the Eastern Conference champions in seven. Like, instead of losing the Sixers, we'll probably lose the Raptors in round two.
Yes, that's a possibility.
But you can't write to how both teams are trying to avoid the Pacers.
I don't think they are.
both teams don't have winning. No, two. They're combined five or two and five.
I think they're trying to play Boston, not avoid Indiana.
Well, you know, Philly does not do that well against the Pacers. Last time they played, Indiana got the better of them. The end of games and Cavs. I mean, I know it's a new look Cavs, but they stunk against Indiana this year.
Yeah, they won once. They were all within 5 points every single game, except that first one.
Well, they smoked them by 17.
Yeah, so it's close. I would rather play the Sixers though, just to not play LeBron, even though I love watching LeBron.
So, if the Pacers play the Cavs, we were talking about this before the show. You think it's a gentleman sweep, probably five games. Yeah,
I do.
So if you remember last year's playoffs, the Pacers lost all four games by what? A combined 16 total points?
It should have been a gentleman sweep last year. Game three was a joke. Well,
last year, they should have probably pulled out one of the first two and won game three.
Yes.
Because that first game they should have won. I mean, Miles got to hit that shot. He just has to. CJ Miles has to, sorry, not Miles Turner. CJ Miles has to hit that shot to win the game. I mean, he's wide open inside for a 15-footer. He's got to hit that. But
yes.
But if you think about it, this team is probably better than last year's Pacer team, and the Cavs team is worse than last year's Cavs team, so it should probably be a six-game series, I think.
Five or six. I mean, LeBron, like, the Cavs, you just never know in the playoffs because of LeBron. Like, when he goes whatever, what do you call it, zero, when he goes off social media.
Zero Dark 23.
Yeah, yeah. He's a different guy when he does that.
But you also have to remember, I mean, you're going to laugh when I say this, but Mitchell Oladipo is actually a clutcher player than Paul George. If you remember, if you think about it.
I have nothing to say.
No, at the end of games. I mean, this year, Vic has been incredible in the last 2 minutes.
Regular season, Victor Oladipo has been clutcher than Paul George.
Yeah, yes, we don't. It's not. It's the unknown,
Paul
right?
But like Mr. Clutch in the playoffs for a while.
When?
When, like 2013, 2014. He's always tough as nails. Remember Real Recognize Real?
No, he's a great playoff player, but he doesn't mean he's clutch in the playoffs. He's a great playoff player, yes.
Great.
I just mean, like, if you're in a tight game like you were last year in game one, Victor Oladipo was probably actually a better bet in the last minute than George. I know George had a great three that game, but George also passed up that shot, didn't know, you know, was in the right position. There was the game against Toronto years ago where he passed it away from to Solomon Hill, and not enough time to make a quick decision. I mean, there's just little things. Well, there was
plenty of time for Solomon Hill.
No, but Paul George should have been, by playing next to Solomon Hill for that long and knowing that Solomon Hill has a windup to his three-point shot, should have got rid of the ball quicker, but he was hesitating because he wanted to take the final shot and be the hero and realized he couldn't, and he made it. You know, he was probably 0.2 seconds late.
I'm not blaming him for Solomon Hill taking over a second to shoot a corner three.
I'm not blaming, but I'm saying there's just little things that he's just not that clutch in the last 10, 50 seconds, where Vic this year has the San Antonio shot with 1.7 left. Has the Denver game.
Regular season Oladipo has been very clutch. You don't have to remind me.
Okay. Denver game, Bulls game. I'm just throwing things at Porter's.
Different things.
100%. But if you project that the regular season will be like the playoffs and the players will be somewhat the same, then that's where you would rather have Oladipo at the end of
the season. Yeah,
and the players around Oladipo are much better than the players were around George last year. Yes, they are.
That is the bigger difference.
Because there's no Monte Ellis.
Yes. God. What a horrible person to have around.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's gone. That team just
I want you to say about that, I think.
Yes. I'm glad I did not join Locked On Pacers when Monte Ellis was on the team. That's for sure.
Last year's Locked On Pacers would have been so frustrating. Can you imagine that team from November to basically the All-Star break was just painful to watch. They didn't care. They didn't try. They lost to just some bad teams. And then they finally turned it on when it actually mattered to barely get in the playoffs. It was this year's team that literally doesn't go down. Every game does not go down without a fight. Never really gets blown out. They, you know, the Denver game a couple weeks ago, last week even, they lost by 8, but they came all the way back and tied it up with, you know, when they were down 15 or 20 at one point. Like, they always fight back.
You know what wasn't painful to watch?
Saturday's game? Sunday's game?
No, not just Saturday's game. Sorry, not just Sunday's game. Domantas Sabonis in Sunday's game.
Good transition.
As soon as you said painful to watch, I knew I had it. I'm going to plug something and make fun of something at the same time, if you'll let me.
Go ahead.
So the Charity Stripe, where we are creating content for charity, where we have a Patreon where you can donate money to charity and read our basketball content. It's pretty cool. We do a line of the night where we make a video about the guy in the NBA who had the best stat line from the night before, and it's really cool. You should check them out. But they would not pick – I suggested Sabonis, and they wouldn't pick him today. They picked Donovan Mitchell, who had less points and worse shooting percentage and only one more rebound and less steals. I am furious. Sabonis, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, shot 62% from the field in 38 minutes. A lot of it was Miles Turner was in a crazy foul trouble and could not do anything, and a lot of it was he was just having an amazing game.
Well, isn't this the Sabonis we saw earlier in the year playing with the starters? When he gets a lot of time with these starters, he's really successful. Remember, Yes. Nate Duncan, when you had him on, said maybe this Pacer team is better off with Sabonis' version. Then Sabonis hit a little slump, got hurt, and so that kind of faded from our minds, and we saw Turner play pretty well for a 2 or 3 week stretch. But, you know, Sabonis plays really well with these starters. He plays really good with Victor Oladipo. They have some chemistry that's just unreal.
Yeah, he I don't know if you guys have seen these SportsRadar Insight things that keep popping up. They're really cool. Sabonis has had a bunch of lines of him just running obscenely good pick and rolls. And that's his MO with the starters. He just sets a really hard screen with his arms wide, gets the rim, hits an easy shot. Or like the first couple times they played the Hornets, we talked about this, where he's able to get Dwight Howard away from the rim and knock down shots over him. Like, he just really was doing everything really well. And Vic having a big game also made it easy for him.
So, like, the thing with Sabonis is if he could knock down his 15-footer, like, at a good rate, he actually might be better for the Pacers in the last 2 minutes if they're trying to run that Victor Oladipo screen and roll. Because Turner is just not as an effective screener as Sabonis. And we're projecting this towards the playoffs. Sabonis, you know, that's, like, the key to the Pacers winning a lot of games is getting Vic the right pick in the right pick and roll situation and getting him rolling to the rim in the open, you know, a good pick kind of situation. And Sabonis is probably better for that. The reason Turner's probably out there is because he can shoot the three, like Sabonis can't. But if you're down one, you might better off putting Sabonis in.
Yeah, well, yeah, in a down one situation, I think. But, like, defense is the thing, too, there that makes it harder to say.
Yeah, but you could do a defense-offense flip thing. I know that would probably discourage Turner, which is kind of a problem, but you could, you know, we've seen a lot of times in the playoffs, teams will do that. I think there's a pretty famous case of 2005 Cavs, or 2007, sorry. They went to the finals in that Pistons series. They would basically who was the guy on the Cavs who had the really long hair?
The really long hair?
He played with them 3 years ago and he broke his foot. And then he switched to the Warriors. Oh, what's his name?
Anderson Varejão?
Yeah, Varejão and the European guy that was ball. I can't say his name either.
Galskius?
Yeah, they would switch. Basically Galskius would be on defense and Varejão would be on offense. They'd just keep doing that for like an entire fourth quarter in overtime. Like Pacers could theoretically do that.
That'd be cool. I would like that.
It'd be really gutsy
We haven't talked about it, but the biggest – we've never talked about it on this podcast, but the biggest reason that'd be so big is because Sabonis, like, has low-key stunk on defense for, like, 3 months.
He's not really that great a defender because he just can't protect the rim. Well, and the Pacers' defense is designed for a rim protector. It's always been. It's been going on since Roy Hibbert was with them. It's designed to – I mean, that's like a Dan Burke specialty is figuring out how to protect the rim, force players to the rim, and then have a rim protector to stop them.
Well, and why it's not we're talking about a ton is, like, you can tell Sabonis knows where he needs to be. He just, like, is a second late on it, you know? Like, he's there. He's got the pattern recognition. He just doesn't, like, have the – like, he doesn't go right away. But that comes with time. So I think he will be a good defender.
His arms are probably, good 3 or 4 inches shorter than Turner's, and he's probably shorter than him. And if you watch how the Pacers play D, their whole system is like run shooters off the 3-point lines in some sense and let them either take the long two or go to the rim. And the way NBA is designed now, players just go to the rim instinctively. And that sets perfectly up for Turner, who's just waiting for them and swatting them away all the time. Or you have Vic behind, you know what I mean, kind of come behind them. But that's like perfectly set up for them. But now it's with Sabonis, you can't really do that because Sabonis is just not as tough when guys come at him at the rim.
Yeah, for sure. And like the shorter wingspan, like you said, certainly plays into something like that. Like if he's late, it's even more important now because he can't reach the ball. And I think it'll be there, but I just don't know what. And his defending in space is a whole other thing we haven't even talked about. So we'll have to see how that goes. But that's not what we're talking about now. That's just he had a really good game against Charlotte. That was the thesis here.
Yes, he did. He had probably his career best game, which, being honest.
I agree. Career best substantially.
Yeah, really good early season games just before we get our next topic.
You know who else has been playing well recently?
Who?
Glenn Robinson. I didn't put this in our itinerary, but I want to talk about it.
That's fine. I was actually wondering if we're going to talk about it or not. So perfect.
Well, Dom hit him up at Dom hit him up on Twitter. Actually tweeted at us to ask us if he'll be in the playoff rotation or we think he should be after these big games. And we're going to talk playoff rotation a little bit after we talk about Turner after this. But
So that's part of it. Yesterday's show, I sort of teased we're going to do a mailbag on Friday. Just so you know, I didn't give you a heads up. That's probably why you got a question. Just so you know.
No, you're good.
But send more questions.
Dom replies to us a lot, man. He's a big fan.
No, I know. But if you got a question, that would be why. Because yesterday I said,
yes.
Yeah, I know this is our podcast. I said, send me out that questions to
NBA
Locked On Pacers and Freeman Adam 5. So if you have more questions, guys, just send them in. We'll
get
file some and enter them on Friday before probably they play Saturday or Sunday.
We'll talk about this one too, just because I want to talk about Glenn Robinson making 6 of his last 10 threes and actually looking like really good.
Yeah, he might be working his way into the playoff rotation, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope he is.
Stretch four.
That's the kind of guy they need that they haven't had in the play. Like, I think what will happen is him and Booker will be the last guy, but it'll be situational, if I had to guess.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends what the other team throws out there. Like, if the Cavs go Kevin Love and LeBron at the four, you probably don't play Trevin Booker unless you put Trevin Booker at the five.
Right.
All it's off the bench. But if they go with Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, then you probably can't play Robinson. You probably play Booker.
Yeah.
It's sort of those type of things.
I agree.
Right now, everything I'm projecting towards the Cavs, and I'm really hoping they don't play the Cavs. So this is sort of like a double jinx kind of thing.
Yeah, well, and like by tomorrow, we could know like everything about the seeding in the East, which is crazy.
I guess if the Cavs lose, we could.
Yeah. If the Cavs lose, the Pacers could get the four.
Yeah, but that matchup doesn't change then. That's right. You know, the home court does, but like matchup-wise, it's the same.
Right, I agree. I've liked what I've seen from GR3, especially, you know, because he's been out of the corner, like he's been running around. That's been his big thing, is just getting free more. And, you know, he's good at cutting, so I'm glad they're having him cut to a shot that he's good at.
Well, and his three-point percentage is up.
It is. It's over like,
for the I don't know what it is games.
Now. I wonder, what, over the last what now?
Over the last two games, 60%. He's
60. Oh, yeah.
Just doing well. His best two games have been in the past, those two.
Over his last 10 games, it is still crazy high. 50% of his last 10 games.
How many attempts, though, is that?
don't ask questions. 5, 6, 7, 8. 18.
Okay, I mean.
That's fine.
Know, I've brought Solomon Hill already once, but remember Solomon Hill had a really small sample size where he was shooting, like, I think 60% from three for the Pacers, and it carried over to the playoffs, basically.
Yeah, I hope it does.
Yeah, you do. West Solomon Hill got $52 million because he, for 2 months of the year, he shot literally probably the best 3-point percentage of a player over a 2-month stretch that's not named like Steph Curry, Kyle Korver, or
Solomon Hill and Bismack Biyombo had the funniest thing because they both peaked at like the perfect time that season to just get just crazy money and then suck again.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of players that year, though, that sort of had overpaid. I'm pulling Solomon Hill stats because I really have to look this up now. I really want to know.
Remember that series? Biyombo was like the best defender at the rim of all time all of a sudden.
Oh, Biyombo was killing the Pacers.
Killing the Pacers, like everywhere. Oh, man. That's funny. I never even put that together. That series like affected those guys' lives so much until we just started talking about it.
So Solomon Hill that season, he only shot 33% in 2015-16. But if you take – I believe you take his last 20 games – you get like some ridiculous high percentage because you only get 40%, but he shot. There was a stretch from just his last 7 games.
You're better than this. Let's go.
I know. I'm the freaking b-boy. I was not doing
this. Not locked on Pelicans, Adam.
I know. He shot. Sorry. There was a stretch for 6 games where he shot 52%, where he took 5 threes a game.
There you go. So
he took like 30 threes and made 16 of them, something like that.
That's good. That's
and then in the playoffs, that carried because he shot really well that playoffs too.
He did.
58% from three in that playoffs.
Shout out to Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans while we are talking about Pelicans players. So I think the last thing we should do before – actually, is there two things? Shoot, I forgot our itinerary already. I'm an idiot. Oh, yeah, two more things. The last player, yes, we should talk about is Miles Turner, who has been – after we talked about how great he's been, horrible – over the last 11 games. You want some stats, Adam?
Throw me some stats. I love analytics.
Miles Turner's last 11 games, 37.6% shooting from the field, 25% shooting from three, only 4.6 rebounds per game, turning it over 1.5 times a game, fouling 2.7 times a game. Not good.
What happened?
I don't know. Seriously, what happened? I really don't know because he was just murdering it before that.
He was playing so well. I mean, so did you take from after that 9 of 15 game?
No, I started after the game he missed against the Wizards.
Okay, so because that was his best stretch between those games, right?
When five games before that, 61% from the field, 50% from three, 15 points a game.
Yeah, like, I even took a bigger sample size, that 20-game stretch, 46, 53 from field, 46 from three, and 80 from the line.
Yeah. So from that Wizards game he missed, maybe it's something with his ankle, honestly. But
that probably is. Well, no, because remember he came back against the Lakers.
Killed in that Lakers game. That's true.
Maybe
that 4-15 game just shot his confidence.
The good thing for the Pacers, though, is that they're going to have an extra day to rest their player, no matter how they play. They're going to have an extra – they could play Saturday or Sunday or Monday, right? Probably Saturday or Sunday.
They've only had one two-day-off gap since, like, what, March 1st?
Yeah, they're going to get 4 days off. And if they decide to rest their starters on Tuesday, which I actually am kind of for at the Cavs win tonight.
We'll talk about the draft stuff.
They could get almost 7 days off if they put on Sunday.
Well, the Hornets are not – the Hornets, if they lose, could get a better draft pick because of the Lakers, so they're not going to try.
No, but – yeah, I don't care if they win the game. I'm kidding, they just rest their starters.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I agree.
Play – like, I don't care if they win. It doesn't bother me.
EJ Leaf's first NBA start. I'm there.
Or at least maybe not everybody. Maybe just give Turner a rest. Like, if his ankle's really bothering, give him an extra game off. Let him – you know what I mean?
Starting five, Edmund Sumner, Ben Moore – TJ Leaf, EK Anibogu, and
Al Jefferson.
And Al Jefferson,
Al's got to start. It might be his last
mega huge lineup. Yeah, that's true.
I think Al will be on some team next year.
I do too.
He's too good of a veteran not to sign some kind of minimum deal and just be kind of the rah-rah guy.
The Thunder would kill to have Al Jefferson right now.
Yeah, they could just use that kind of leadership.
They could use a guy who's better than Dakari Johnson as their backup center.
Yeah, but isn't that the same problem with what they have with Kanter? Isn't he kind of the same player as Kanter? And you can't really play that guy in the playoffs, especially in the West when you played the Rockets. And
yeah, but then they don't have to play Steven Adams like 70 minutes a game in the regular season.
I guess you mean that. And you play Adams like 40 in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm loving these speaking of playing high minutes, I'm loving these Tibbs jokes on Twitter where it's like, Tom Thibodeau will ease Jimmy Butler back into action by playing him 46 minutes tonight against the Grizzlies.
That the West is kind of a cluster. We're talking about the West for a second.
It's crazy. Should we talk about it a little bit? It doesn't affect the Pacers at all.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's save it to the end of the show.
Okay. We have our end of stuff. It's just fun to discuss. And the Hornets are going to be boring since they just played.
Because our last kind of topic will work like that.
Yes, I like it. I like that a lot. Draft positioning is the last thing I want to talk about.
Want to do Hornets game first? I was going to tell you that. Let's do Hornets.
Oh yeah.
And then
we draft. We can tie in the West playoffs to that actually pretty easily. Yeah. Yeah, let's take a quick break and then talk about the Hornets. Adam, it's been a long time since we've seen the Hornets play.
I know. It's been a whole, give or take. It's Monday at 6:56 right now, so 28 hours, 29 hours. They finished the game at like 3, right?
Remember the last time they played the Hornets twice in like 5 days, too?
Yeah, and they split that time, too. Another game where they would love to have back. That Hornets win. Lost. There's three games they went back.
The Dan Burke game.
Yes, the Dan Burke game. That game, Atlanta, then Dallas in early March, and then probably Dallas in December.
Dallas times two and Atlanta. Those are the big ones to me.
If they win those four games, they are sitting at the number 3 seed right now.
Yes, they are.
They'd be at 52-29. But there's also other games they won they should have won. San Antonio, Toronto, the first time they played. I mean, there's a lot of other times.
Twice.
The Bulls once.
Yeah, that was yucky.
We also should have not lost the other time to the Bulls, too. So,
sigh. Oh, well.
But overall, positive.
I was going to say, more positives than negatives for sure. So they just played the Hornets, and like it was a close-ish game. And I know we talked about this last week, but like I still look at the Hornets being 15th in offense and 17th in defense and wonder how they're just like not better.
Right. Well, what's their projected win loss again? We talked about it last week.
Their expected win loss is 40-41.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So the 500 team.
Like that's. I would hate to be an unlucky team. That sucks.
Right. The Pacers was like 45 and something. Right. Yeah. They've been way ahead of it.
Wait, because a good clutch plays how you swing that.
Yeah, Indiana's is 45-36. So they're 3 games ahead of their projected.
Yeah, it's crazy. Poor.
And you can probably name the 3 games they won because of they shouldn't have won. Like there's a couple. There's at least 5 out there. There's 5 out there in my mind. I can think of.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, a good way to go and do that is look at the Caitlin Cooper's.
She kills those. Those are awesome.
Yeah, her power best comebacks. But it's also why this Pacer team, like I was saying, is more encouraging than last year's team because they just fight. They like keep fighting. Last year's team had no fight. It seemed like they got some adversity and they were like, "Screw this, we're done." But
I think too, it was like they got some adversity and they'd be down 18, and then Monte Ellis was like, "I'm gonna shoot us back into this."
Yeah, that's true. a lot of times in these games, it's like it's not even somebody shooting them back in. It's like a lot of like let's just play D, get some turnovers, and now get us back in the game. That's usually been the kind of the motto. You know, you get a couple good layups or a couple jumpers here, then it's like Vic pops 2 steals out, or Turner makes a block and there's no turnover, or Thad Young gets a handle on the ball, and that sort of kind of flips things a lot.
Yeah, it does. And you love those little plays.
Or the transition three.
The transition three is a Pacers staple this year.
Yeah.
I love that.
What are the Hornets' numbers again? 15 and 17?
15th in offense, 17th in defense, yep. 8th in pace.
I guess the best thing about last game, right, was the fact that Oladipo was really freaking efficient.
He's amazing. 27 points on 15 shots. And he missed both his free throws. The Tom Crean thing, I don't think it's as much of a story as people are talking about it is on Twitter. Still cool. But,
yeah,
make his free throws. He could have 29 points on 15 shots. That's insane.
So what's Vic's end-of-year stats?
That could be a good pod for the week, man, honestly.
All right. We'll do that later because some of the projections here, we were way off. I want to go back to
do a player recap series, which will be fun.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Hopefully it won't happen until like late May at the earliest.
Post-playoffs sometime, whenever that happens to me.
No, but I mean, the free throw thing is a real worry, though, in the playoffs. If you can't clutch free throws, it's going to be an issue.
It sure is. And Thad's things have clutch free throws, too.
And so does Bojan. Really, Darren Carlson.
No. Bojan's great at clutch free throws. He just doesn't want to have the ball within.
Sorry. Bojan is not clutch with the ball in his hands.
Yes. That is more accurate.
You don't want the ball even near him.
Darren Carlson is the guy I want to have the ball to. So I agree with you there. I just will not take the Bojan slander here.
We can both agree, though, this Hornets game means absolutely nothing except that it would help me win our over-under 48.5 bet that we have on the stat, right? Only this game matters to either of us. Right?
You're going to win. You're definitely going to win.
I don't know. If they do what you said and they go with the five bench guys,
they could
lose. But also the Hornets probably go with the other bench guys.
Yeah, so I kind of briefly said this. Not a super lot. So the Hornets currently sit at 35-46. So this is their last game. And if they get to 35-47, the Lakers, who don't have their first-round pick and could be trying, have 34 wins. So there is a possibility they get a coin flip opportunity to move up one spot in the draft if they lose. So I'm really not thinking they're going to be trying super hard.
Yeah, they'll probably do it the last time and play a lot of Malik Monk and Jeremy Lamb.
Malik Monk was like okay.
No, he was good.
He was okay.
No, he was great. He was fine. Underrated storyline too of this game. It's probably the last game Kemba Walker will be in a Hornets uniform.
I agree with that.
Which maybe he just comes to Indiana and he just stays there. Just buy a house, Kemba. Or just stay in the the hotel downtown that lets you? It's the Conrad. The Conrad's got like residency. Just stay with the team down there in the JW. Just stay there for a few months and get traded.
Well, I believe it's today. Oh, did I miss it? The Hornets announced their new GM, Mitch Kupchak.
Yep, that was yesterday, right? That was yesterday.
I might have been yesterday. You might be right. But they could shake things up with a new guy, and that he wants his own guys. Remember when Mitch Kupchak did Dwight Howard in LA? That went really well.
Well, he's also going to be in a rebuild mode.
Oh, he is.
He's not. The last guy was committed to all these contracts because Batum was. He was the one that gave Batum the contract, and he gave each one the Howard trade, whatever. But he's also the one that gave Kid Gilchrist the contract and gave your boy Zeller the contract. Like, he was committed to these guys. The next GM has no commitments. His best thing is just to try to get as much assets and clear as much cap space as possible as fast as he can.
I agree. I think that their move is going to be to use Kemba to get off money, but I don't really know.
So what contract? We've had this discussion before, but in general, not with the Pacers, just in general, if you trade Kemba, what player would also be attached? And you're probably not getting Batum.
Wait, who do I want to get off of, or who do I want to get?
No, who is if you had the best case player money wise? So like Batum, nobody wants to take Batum, but like of
I want
Chris Williams, Zeller. Who do you want?
MKG for sure.
Is MKG a rotation player in the playoffs for a team?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's such a good defender.
Okay.
He's like a plus-minus god for them.
For Indiana, you wouldn't want Cody Zeller? A Cody Zeller, Kemba Walker trade?
Not for $60 million. I don't want another center.
How much – is Zeller's kind of for 2 or 3 more years? I'm going to look it up.
Two more after this year.
Okay. But, like, you know, we've seen guys from Indiana come back to Indiana and they get rejuvenated.
Oh, I know. I think him and Vic would have a great time together.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the tickets they'll sell if they were able to get Zeller, Walker, and Oladipo. This would be like, it's like Herb Simon. Sorry, I said that badly. Herb Simon, you might have to cut that.
Wow.
I might have to cut that from the pod, just so you know. I'm going Herb Simon's dream is just to bring, you know, have a Cody Zeller, Oladipo, a big poster that says, you know, Indiana is born and bred, you know, something like that. something along Indiana, and then he sells like all this like IU Pacer gear kind of stuff.
Yeah, that would be that'd be awesome. I'm sure they want a lot of IU guys. Noah Vonleh could be coming in the door. Hope maybe this summer for cheap.
Yeah. Do you want to talk Kemba trades, or you want to ignore that?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Because you never like the fun conversation. Jordan, don't want to talk about. It's fine. We'll talk Kemba trades in the summer because it'll be more.
Yes, that is the time for it. That is the perfect time for it. So we have to do this one more time. Obviously, I think both of our butchers is Kemba.
So let's be clear. This is not the last time. We're going to do playoff previews for every game.
Probably. This is the last time for a not Cavs or Sixers team.
Yeah.
Probably.
Or Raptors, maybe.
Or yeah. Yes.
Butcher, Malik Monk, and you probably the same one because he's going to probably get like 25 shots.
Well, Kemba, but if it's not Kemba, Kemba it's
Kemba's probably not trying. He's pointing nuts out. They're not
trying.
They let Malik Monk take 17 shots, 11 threes last time.
Yeah, Malik. Well, I loved that. It was fun to watch. He was balling.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of tanking is you let your young guys just play.
22 points on 17 shots doesn't suck.
No, I mean, we saw the same with the Kings. You just let your young guys just shoot whenever they feel like it.
Also, low-key that – I don't know if I can say it. Julian – is it Julian Stone or is it Julian? I said those differently to me, but it might have sounded the same to you.
They sounded the same. I'm pretty sure it's Julian, something like that.
He's a good player.
He's only 29, though, so it's not like he has a future.
I can. It's sad. He can defend. But yeah, I think we're going to see a lot, a healthy dose of Willie Hernan Gomez and Malik Monk in this game.
And I think we'll see healthy dose on the Pacers side of a Joe Young and TJ Leaf.
I agree. I think we're going to see a very healthy Joe.
Could we see a 20-point Joe Young game?
I hope so.
I think
we really could. Like Joe Young. Something about Joe Young is just awesome.
We think he might be back next year, right?
Yeah, that money.
It's super cheap. I mean, that's 1% of basically 1% of the cap. Right,
he's making it's just like if he gets hurt, you have Sumner on a two-way. Like it's fine.
It just seems like unless you can find a better use of the roster spot, which you really can't, it seems like if you keep Collins and you have your 2-point guards, you need a guy just in case, and he's a fine just in case guy. Plus
his money, like if you have to waive him and just like sign someone else to a minimum deal to replace him, then you do that. Who cares?
Yeah. Plus he's shown signs. He had that little stretch in February where he had 17 points against the Wizards.
I don't think he ever could peak it more than like an end of rotation guy, but that's the guy you could have around. Who cares?
Plus, he seems like he works hard too. That's also a plus. You know, he seems like he fits the culture there, so it seems like it'd probably worth it to bring him back.
Good job, Joe Young. You stole our hearts, and he's going to be in one of my pieces this week.
So he's going to have worked his way to three years in the NBA for a guy who thought he was going to be a fourth year. Oh, yeah, this is the third year. Fourth year in the NBA for a guy who probably thought he was on the fringes. I mean, he was a mid-second rounder. Good for him.
Yeah,
made a few million bucks. Good for him.
Pacers love those second rounders. I think they really believe in Sumner. I really do.
Well, we'll see. That's a next year, and we'll talk about the summer type of thing.
It is.
Kind of sad. It's the last regular season one of the Locked On Pacers. It's kind of sad.
Do you have an X factor?
Well, I was picking Joe Young as my X factor.
I have never picked TJ Leaf as my X factor, and I'm tempted, but I can't. He won't play enough.
Can we talk about Leaf for a second?
Let's go Glenn Robinson as my X factor.
Okay, can we talk about Leaf for a second?
We have to.
Well, I just – where do we – how bad is that pick on a scale of 1 to 10? Considering who was available, like OG.
Like TJ Leaf's ceiling even now is not great. Probably like 10 is the worst that pick could be.
Okay.
Like if the pick was as bad as possible, am I giving it a 10 or a 1?
Okay, so if it's bad, you're giving it a 1. It could have a good outcome, giving it a 10.
Okay, so I'll give it like a 2 or a 3.
Okay. Does it not remind you a little bit of when
it's not a 1 because like I'd give a Dragan Bender a 1, you know?
Like okay, Bender, when you pick that high, when you pick this low in the draft, it's what it is.
Exactly. Because it was the 18th pick. Like, I get maybe he had like a killer workout or something, but so it's like, okay, I can see how they picked TJ Leaf here. There's probably only five guys below him that all end up better than him.
So does it not remind you a little bit of when Larry Bird took Miles Plumlee in 2012, basically over Draymond Green, essentially?
A little. Miles Plumlee didn't suck for one NBA season.
Yeah, I mean, he took him at 26. He had the opportunity to take like Perry Jones. A guy who at the time I know he didn't work out was like, you know, he was like the number one guy in the class coming to college that year, so he was kind of like had a high ceiling. So then the guys like the one after him, after Miles Plumlee, are like Jay Crowder, Middleton, and Draymond.
Three guys who Crowder. Oh my gosh.
Like guys who maybe not be super sharp, but a 26 Will Barton. Getting that kind of rotation player is ridiculous.
Kyle O'Quinn.
I mean, if you look at the guys in this year's draft that they could have taken, OG was pretty to them, could have taken him. Swanigan, maybe he's sort of been decent.
OG, Kuzma, Bell.
Swanigan's having a decent time in Portland, right?
Yeah. John Collins literally right after him has been better. Josh Hart has been pretty good.
Basically, the only guy that hasn't been worse than him is my guy, Tyler Lydon from Syracuse.
Tyler Lydon gets guaranteed money one more year. No, there's been the guys who have been like Tony Bradley. What the heck has he done?
I guess I'm looking like near him. Like OG. Oh,
okay.
OG was a fair pick to make at 18, and nobody would have been like, "Oh, that's a bad pick," or you know what I mean?
They would have sold more tickets.
I mean, Kuzma would have been a gutsy pick, but it would have paid off.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Harry Giles, we don't know yet. Ferguson's been okay.
They just missed out on the Bam and Mitchell stretch.
They were close.
They had missed the playoffs last year, which they almost did. I think how this team could be with Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, my gosh.
But
be great.
It could be. You want to use this like a pretty good transition, Tony. I've set you up pretty nicely.
The draft. Thanks, Adam. I knew you were doing it, too. That makes me happy. Yeah, so I tweeted this yesterday, and then they won. So it's even less hard to articulate. So they have 48 wins, the Pacers. The Cavs have
four. Now, by the way.
What?
I've got how their draft order possibilities figured out. I wrote it out, by the way.
Okay, so they're 23 right now, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So they have 48 wins. They could, in theory, catch the Cavs and get to like 24. They could catch the Blazers. They could catch the Jazz. They could get as high as like 26 almost, I think, if they win their Hornets game. If they lose and stay at 48, the Blazers and Jazz and Pelicans and Spurs and Thunder could all catch them, and they could get down to like 18.
So, one question is, I don't know the tiebreaker scenario for draft. Is it season stuff, or is it flip a coin at the NFL? Like, I don't remember. Do you have any idea?
I think it's a coin flip.
Okay. That makes sense. My guess is the Blazers will probably win one of their last two games because they need to
click. The Blazers need one win to get home court in the first round. They will get one more.
But what's crazy is if they lose to Denver, the Jazz can catch them.
Yes, they can.
With the three seed, but if the Jazz is at the Jazz, then take the Blazers spot where the Jazz have to win both games to catch the Blazers, so then they're tied with the Pacers. So one of those teams is gonna be tied. So the Pacers are probably gonna pick. I was doing it. There's basically if you take the top four in the East, and then you take the top three in the West, the Pacers pick 23 at that point, and then you're probably betting on, I would guess, one of the Jazz, Pelicans, Spurs, Thunder win two games in a row, and they end up jumping the Pacers for. Is it 22?
Probably 23 or 22. Yeah, is where they end up to.
It's tiebreaker. So I don't know how the coin flip works. They could theoretically get all the way to 20 because if Pelicans went out, play the Spurs once. Pelicans play the Spurs, so both can't win out, but the Thunder can win out. So can the Pelicans. So that would get them two more spots up. But it's you're looking at
now coin flips. Now if they lose, I'm going to root for the Thunder to win out.
Honestly, they should probably just lose, right?
No, I mean it matters like a little being 20 whatever versus 20 whatever, but
so like nah. if the tiebreaker is head to head and that's you get the better pick and you lost more head to head games to the team, they don't own the tiebreaker against the Blazers, or the Thunder or the Pelicans, or they don't get the Cavs. Those three teams in the West.
Spurs
the only one against the Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so weird.
No, they got swept by the Blazers and Thunder and Pelicans and they swept the Jazz. I don't know how that works.
Crazy. Yeah, so that's – I mean, it's something to watch. I doubt it matters a ton. The only team I think will pass them is the Jazz.
I mean, it could matter if we bring up a mock draft. I mean, like we said, sometimes getting the right pick is all about being in the right position at the right moment. You know, it's like luck almost. Like a certain guy falls to a pick that you don't want. Like a Danny Granger, great example, where the Pacers, he was like a top 10 pick, and he fell to 17. And he just happened to be the moment you got him. Or Kawhi Leonard was an example of that, a guy who – people thought could go as high as four and fell to 15. Like, so it does matter. I mean, you know, if a team wants like the Justice Winslow draft, I remember the Pacers probably wanted Winslow, but you know, Miami was at 10. It worked out for them because obviously Turner, I think, is a better player than Winslow, or at least a better ceiling. But you know, it's all about, you know, being 22 could be there between, you know, an all-star or a player and having a guy like Miles Plumlee.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. Or this year, you know who went 22-23 this year?
Who?
OG Tyler Lydon.
Yeah, that's a difference. I mean, I'm looking at just in general, the draft right now, projected draft. I mean, you're talking about, you're looking at guys, I guess they come out, like a Jalen Brunson could be available. Oh,
please, God.
I mean, the guy right now is some guy that's tonight, Jacob Evans, but like Aaron Holiday out of UCLA. I mean, those are guys who have decent. They're probably going to draft, obviously, they should draft a point guard probably.
Jalen Brunson.
I mean, a guy I personally like, I think he'd be a good rotation player, is the guy out of Michigan, Mo Wagner. Mo
Wagner, yeah.
Like, he's not going to be, he doesn't have a ceiling, but he has like a, him and Sabonis have kind of like a, I feel like they have like kind of the same type of play style ceiling. He's a better 3-point shooter than Sabonis.
Yes, he is. He sure is. I will have to do draft up later because I don't really watch that much NCAA.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a mock draft. That's why. But that kind of the difference could be. I mean, it also, there's always one guy that falls that could end up being really good. Like, I could see Miles Bridges falling just because he's kind of, he's a sophomore.
He is tanking his stock. Him and Robert Williams both.
But the thing is, the Michigan State guys now, because of Draymond, now go higher. Like, no one wants to make the mistake that, oh, I didn't draft Draymond.
Deonta Davis went to the second round. Remember, he
was Denzel Valentine went like top 15 when the guy was definitely not 15, top 15 level.
Yeah, he's not very good.
Because of Draymond. He was the Draymond. Oh, you can't let the Michigan State guy go because Draymond went second round. He's like the 25th best player in the NBA and the best defensive player and the most dynamic player in the
generation. Oh, that's a disservice to Draymond.
I don't know. I don't know what Draymond is. But Draymond's one of the most dynamic defensive players of a generation. I mean, he can do every position. There's no, really, LeBron's the only guy that can do that besides him.
Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah, Deonta Davis was the opposite because he was like green room and then he went 31. And he sucked his rookie year, but he's been actually really good the last recently.
It's such dumb luck. I mean, it is
such dumb luck.
It's like getting Paul George at 10, for example, it's such dumb luck. Like, the Jazz should have taken George over Hayward and the Pacers get Hayward. Yeah, they both work out, but like, you just don't know. You just never know. I mean, it's just what happened. Turner falling to 11.
Yeah, Hayward would have stayed here forever.
That's true. But even the Reggie Miller draft, everybody wanted them to take Steve Alford, and they took Reggie Miller. Like, it's
– yeah.
And it worked out. Alford stunk, but you never know.
Yeah, you do never know.
You want to do a little West standings since we got to almost the end of the pod? It's
crazy. The Jazz have clinched. So now it's 5-9, Pelicans, Spurs, Thunder, Timberwolves, Nuggets. The Timberwolves and Nuggets have 45 wins and play each other still, and the other three teams have 46.
So as Pacer fans and as the Paul George hater on this podcast, can we all just cheer for the Thunder to lose their last two games? And somehow
I want them to make it.
Boo. Well, every other Pacer fan that who actually agrees with me and likes to cheer against Paul George, you can cheer. We want let's go Grizzlies.
I want them to get the 7 seed so they play the Warriors without Steph in the first round. That would be awesome.
But could you imagine if they missed the playoffs on a Grizzlies loss? How just demoralizing it would be to that franchise? And definitely Paul just leaving and they lose the Grizzlies.
Did you see the Grizzlies who they're sitting out today against the Timberwolves?
That's what I'm saying. If they lose that game, think how demoralizing that would be. That would literally just ruin them.
The Grizzlies are playing like me and Adam at the starting post positions.
I think you're giving us more credit, giving them more credit they deserve.
Yeah, seriously. I saw the injury report and I died laughing. I think that really it's just going to be the Denver-Minnesota winner gets in, and then the other one's out, and the other three teams all make it.
So I'm going to confirm this. If Denver wins, even if Denver loses to Portland but wins their last game, they make the playoffs because they own the tiebreaker against the Timberwolves.
That's true from what I've seen on Twitter today.
I'm going to look up Tom.
There is a way, according to Matt Moore, who's the king of this stuff, there is a way that the Nuggets get eliminated today.
Well, it's got to be if another team loses in some three-way scenario.
Yes, it's crazy. It's all insane. If they all five tie, though, I know the Thunder are out, which is fascinating.
Yes, I knew that. I saw that from Matt Moore, who's actually a really good person to follow.
Matt Moore is the king of this tiebreaker stuff.
All right, I'm going to look up. So Denver has won only one of the three times they played Minnesota. So I don't know what happens if they tie at 2-2.
If they go to, well, you just talked about it. Neither of them are going to win the division, so then it goes to conference record, which Minnesota has them by 5 games, so they got it.
So, yeah, so Denver has to win both games.
Pretty much. To get ahead of Minnesota, they could catch anybody, though.
Oh, that's true. You're right. I'm just saying, get ahead of Minnesota, they need to win both games. I guess they could catch the Thunder or the Spurs.
It's going to be wild. I really don't know. I always thought the Pelicans were going to be the unlucky team, but it could be anybody.
You know, I have a feeling the Nuggets will beat the Blazers tonight, and then it's going to come out to – that's been great. Last night of the season.
In Denver? Crazy.
Yeah. No, but just think about it. If Jazz Blazers are playing each other for the 3 seed and you got Nuggets, Wolves playing each other for the 8-9, that's a great end of season for the NBA. great Wednesday night.
The Thunder are lucky that their schedule is – I guess their Heat game is going to be tough tonight. Never mind.
No, but, I mean, it's not lucky. I mean, they all play the same amount of teams.
Right.
So it's just
– it's a timing matter. Timing matters.
Yes, timing does matter. You have an article you write about that, but you can talk about that, later.
No spoilers.
I didn't give anything away. I just – I previewed a teased at whatever.
That's a good title, though. Thank you. Timing is everything.
You're welcome. I better get some residual from that.
Yeah, all $0. I'll make writing it. I'll send your way.
Hey, you make a little money writing. I know you make some.
All $0 I make writing.
It's fine.
Okay. So do we want to talk about anything else? This has been a fun season, guys. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, it has. And I think we should, at the end of the season, when the Patriots either win the NBA Finals or lose the playoffs, we should we should probably tweet out everybody's been on the show and everybody we use mailbag. Yes, something like, give a quick shout out to everybody. Because it's been a great it's our first year doing this and it's been a lot of fun.
It was really fun. We'll be back next year better.
But luckily we still got weeks left. We got playoffs and then we got draft and off season.
We don't get time off till like mid July, dude.
Well, it depends on the playoffs go, but yes.
We'll see. It'll be fun.
But we will, once the season ends, probably cut back to more like once or twice a week, just so everybody is aware of it.
Yeah, we'll see.
And they're gonna be I'll be on once or twice a week. Tony can do his own solo show 6 times a week. But in the playoffs, I've talked to you about it, but I'm gonna put you on the spot because I think we'll probably do a podcast together after every Pacer playoff game and post.
We'll do it that night.
We'll do that night. We'll either post it immediately after the game or we'll do it after, or we might do some live games.
Those are fun.
We can do some fourth quarters together. Kind of fun, and then just post it, like do a fourth quarter and just post it. So we're gonna try some stuff in the playoffs, and we have a special guest. I'm not gonna say who it is because it could always bail on Wednesday. No, for Thursday's show. Sorry, I'm recording on Wednesday.
Yeah, I talked to you about that. I thought that was coming out Wednesday.
Nope, it's coming out on Thursday. You guys will like that show.
Okay, thank you for letting me know.
You're welcome, Tony. We'll talk about our rest of after the podcast. We're gonna send some questions. We'll do some mailbag on Friday. Tony, we'll do it together on Friday, I assume.
If he's okay. Yeah, sure.
So send it by Thursday so we can do them on Thursday evening.
Yes. Hopefully right after I get home from work.
Yes, that's when I finish my classes, so it'll be perfect.
Adam, are you writing this week by chance?
I am. I am writing both a preview for the Sixers and the Cavs, hoping to have them both done tonight so I can just post them immediately when we find out on Wednesday. Oh, I think the Cavs are going to win tonight. So,
if the Cavs win tonight, we still don't know. So if they lose, we will know.
Yeah, I'm probably going to just do like 5 – data points or 5 points, like, you know, facts, and that matters to what for the playoff previews. And then I might go more in depth, and I'll probably write some post game stuff as the playoff games go by, finding interesting storylines about the games.
Bada bing, bada boom.
But most of my content you can find on this podcast.
Hey, that's here.
Yep. And you can follow us on Locked On Pacers.
At Locked On Pacers. Almost at 380. I would like to have 400 by the time the Pacers season is over.
Remember, we had 0. We didn't even create that account. We had 0 when the season started, so.
We did have 0 when the season started.
We have a fan base. We're growing, Tony, slowly. Every year we go 400 followers a year. You know, in 5 years, we'll be 2,000 people following every word.
Oh, man.
No, we have more listeners than followers, so that's just to say.
That's what I want.
We're growing as a brand.
I want people who care about the team.
Yeah, we have a great listeners. We have great listeners. They care about the team. They love to talk to us. Everyone, at least that we know, our regular listeners are nice to us, and they're not like hostile or anything. And they tweet questions, and they're usually pretty insightful questions too.
We're not allowed to say anything nice about Miles Turner's rebounding, though. That's our only thing.
You know what? I've defended Miles enough this season, so I can. Yeah, we'll see how he does in the playoffs. That's all I got to say.
We sure will. I have 2 things coming out. One, I don't really want to reveal either of them. They're both gonna be cool.
Wow, the elusive Tony East.
Damn. What if they suck now? I
don't know.
Adam knows about one of them. Do you think it's cool or annoying, Adam?
What, the one that you're writing? That you told me about?
One of the two that I sent you a little bit above today.
You know what? I won't give it away, but I think it's really cool. We had like our most cordial conversation about something.
It was.
Pacer-wise, writing-wise. But it was really good.
I don't know what angle to take on it. It'll be cool.
Yeah, and I gave you an angle, and if you can go with that or you don't go with it, whatever it is. But I thought the same thing.
It'll be cool.
I thought about too.
Some people, yes, some people will not be thrilled with it, but that's okay.
Yeah. all I would say is I would avoid getting too much, like throwing a bunch of like numbers and sets of people. Just
yes,
you don't want to over. You don't want to scare them.
Kind of thing. I agree.
But I think your research is really good. You're doing a lot of good research for it.
Yes, it took a long time today. All right, I got nothing else.
Either do I. We'll be back tomorrow, I guess, on the podcast.
We have something coming out tomorrow, which I don't know what it is now. So,
but Thursday, look forward to Thursday, and Friday.
Thursday, cool playoff preview with super cool guest. Friday, mailbag. So be on the lookout for those. And we'll probably have a post-game show coming out Saturday, right? Or, yes.
Well, it depends. They could play Saturday or Sunday. That's when they usually play.
Oh, that's right.
We'll tweet out. Well, you'll know. Whenever they play their game, we'll do a podcast afterwards. That's when it'll be.
Yes. And Dash Radio today. Be ready.
Yep, 5 to 6 p.m. or 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time, so it's 7 Eastern Time for all your Indiana people.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great Tuesday.